The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello, I'm Peter Strachan. Welcome to Stockhead's Rock Yarn. Conrad Asia Energy holds natural gas development exploration assets in a very energy-hungry part of the world where the spot gas price reflects the cost of imported LNG. Indonesia and Singapore will need any gas that Conrad can find and develop commercially. Here to update us on the company's development plans, we're pleased to welcome its founder and non-executive director, Mario Traviati. Thanks for joining us at Stockhead today, Mario. Mario, Conrad recently raised $13 million in part to support the acquisition of 3D seismic data over its offshore Aceh permits. What are the targets for this work and when will the data be available to the company?
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, the last capital raising was really for two issues. One, as you mentioned, to shoot the 3D seismic survey in our HA PSC, and the other is for continuing sort of G&A for our Mako gas project as well. In terms of the seismic survey, in HA, we've got, it's basically, there's two PSCs, and the PSCs are basically split into what we call the shallow water area and the deeper water area. So this 3D seismic is going to be targeting the shallow water area where we've got four existing gas discoveries. So what we're doing is shooting 3D in and around the three of those existing gas discoveries, basically to more accurately define the resource base and hopefully improve it. I mean, the current estimates for gas in and around these areas is around the 200-odd BCF. So we're hoping by shooting 3D we can increase that number, hopefully by 20 to 50%, and as well as secure those reserves as we move into. We signed an MOU with PGN, and obviously over the next 12 months, we hope to mature that MOU in conjunction with the 3D into what we call a plan of development for those resources.
Conrad has been able to negotiate more favourable fiscal terms for these permits. What would be the contractor's share of any future revenue, and what nearby infrastructure and markets are likely to be supplied from the gas discoveries that you've got there in Aceh?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, we've been analysing these two PSCs for about 5 years, and the Indonesian government considered them what they call frontier terms. And basically, because they're frontier terms, the fiscal terms are obviously very beneficial for the contractor. So in this particular case, you know, Conrad will probably be able to take about 40% of the contracted take of any gas that we find and produce in this area. So even though it's declared a frontier area, mainly for the deeper water areas, but the shallow water areas are being captured in the PSC arrangement, which basically means we can produce from the four shallow gas discovery under frontier sort of commercial terms or tax take. So it's very, very attractive for Conrad. In terms of the development, I mean, obviously, when you look at the Aceh area, particularly on the southern side, it is underexplored, although very, very recently there's been a host of major discoveries. I think something like 10 to 11 TCF of gas have been discovered offshore Aceh. So it has become a bit of an exploration hotspot. So we're hoping that enthusiasm, we've got 100% of these licenses, so we're hoping in the deeper water areas we can attract some major companies. And in fact, we're in sort of discussion with a few of these companies at the moment. So it's really for LNG, deeper water type LNG, and you would have seen from our stock exchange announcements, we've got about 15 trillion cubic feet of prospective gas resources, and that's quite a price. So we're hoping to attract a major company into potentially looking for gas in the deeper water and then maturing that to a major LNG project. In the shallow water area, once again, we're looking at mini LNG because there's not a major market in that southern area for gas. The markets tend to be small and quite fractured, but it's really large-scale LNG for the deeper water and mini LNG for the shallow water.
So what's your time frame on getting the 3D data and getting it analysed?
Well, we're hoping to shoot. As I said, we've already signed an MOU with PGN for the resources that we've already had certified, which is around the 214 BCF. And with the MOU, we can actually then progress that MOU into a plan of development. So we're hoping to shoot, and the 3D is basically to add a bit more bite or a bit more clarity on what the potential resources of the discovered resources are. So we're focusing that 3D in and around those particular discoveries. So we're hoping to shoot the 3D in the third quarter of this year, and we're hoping that by the end of the year or early next year, we'll have a resource update on that shallow water area.
It just makes it all the more attractive for farminees as well when you've got that extra degree of certainty. So, Mario, the company, as you said, it's got an estimated prospective net resource of 11 TCF over the total area, the spread in multiple leads. What do you think is the estimated minimum size of a commercial development for gas discoveries in this location, especially in the deeper water areas that you're talking about?
Yeah, the deeper water areas are probably going to be around the 2 TCF, and some of the larger companies that we're talking to are actually looking for larger numbers than that, potentially 5 TCF. So you're looking at 2 to 5 TCF range, and some of the prospects that we've got are actually of that size. So we're pretty confident on the size, but that's the type of size that you would need in the deeper water areas. The shallow water areas are completely different. I mean, the economic threshold there in the shallow waters is about 50 BCF. But the really interesting thing about the shallow water areas of Aceh is the success rate in these Miocene carbonate buildups has been around the 70%, and that's based on 1970s 2D seismic data and drilling in the 70s as well. So we're hoping that with 3D in the shallow water area, we can at least achieve that historical success rate of 70%, and pretty confident of getting numbers much higher. Deeper water areas are obviously a bit more higher risk.
Yeah, the 3D seismic makes finding gas all that more easy, because you get those AVO anomalies lighting up and showing you where the gas is.
Correct. In fact, you can see from some of the presentations, particularly not just in the shallow water, but the deeper water areas, in one of our slide decks, we've got one of the best prospects, gas prospects that I've seen. It's got a DHI flat spot, gas chimneys, and clearly the area is prospective for gas, as evidenced by the discoveries made in the shallow water area. So we're pretty optimistic and confident about what we're doing in those offshore Aceh areas.
So look, just turning to your flagship development, Mario, Conrad's got a 76.5% working interest in the 413 BCF offshore Mako gas field in the Natuna Sea. What are the development timelines there now?
Yeah, once again, we're basically, the project's a fantastic project, but we have been delayed in sort of maturing that to getting it to a gas sales agreement. I mean, we discovered the field, we appraised it, we were hoping to sign a definitive gas sales agreement at the end of sort of 2023, but that's been pushed back into hopefully signing something by the middle of this year. So basically everything's done. I mean, we're in the middle. I mean, we've got the Singapore, we've signed term sheets with Sembcorp, which is 50% owned by the Singapore government, to buy the gas. And obviously in Indonesia, under production sharing contract, we need government approval for Indonesia to actually sell that gas. So we got a tick off from the minister about a month ago on a minimum sort of size of production and also the price. So the next things we need to do is obviously conclude our arrangements with the West Natuna pipeline transportation system, the people that run that pipeline, and we're hoping to do that in the course of the next few months. And then when that's complete, hopefully sign binding gas sales agreement to supply that gas into Singapore.
Now, as you alluded, the petroleum industry saw substantial disruptions to supply lines and rising costs through the pandemic, and lots of projects, you're not Robinson Crusoe there, lots of projects have been delayed. How's the availability of services settled down now? And are costs much changed from those that Conrad used in its recent FEED study?
Yeah, when we did, they did jump up a bit from when we did the IPO at the end of 2022. So, you know, they probably went up about 30% from that time. But also the gas price formula looks like it's changed as well. So what we're seeing at the moment is that things are freeing up. There is capacity out there that we hadn't seen before, and some costs have actually come down. The good thing about the West Natuna area, or where the Mako gas field is discovered, it sits right in the middle of a major sort of petroleum infrastructure that's been supplying gas into Malaysia and into Singapore. So it's an easy area to access oil field services, unlike Australia, particularly for the offshore industry. In Australia, we tend to bring equipment and the oil services down from Asia, particularly from Singapore. But being in the Natuna Sea, you're sort of right in the middle of Asia's exploration hotspot for exploration and development. So it's a good place to find gas and a really good place to develop it as well.
Would the all of the gas from Mako be going into Singapore, or some of the gas be going into customers in Indonesia as well?
Good question, Peter. I mean, the way it is at the moment is Indonesia have what's called a domestic market obligation. When you make a discovery such as we've got at Mako, 25% of the gas has to be offered to Indonesia. The rest of the gas is being sort of, will hopefully be sold to Singapore under the term sheet that we've got with Sembcorp. The issue with the Indonesians and the location of the field is if you have a look where Mako, it's a long way from land. It's out pretty much out in the middle of the Natuna Sea. So the only way to get gas to Indonesia is to build a spur line off the trunk line that goes into Singapore. And that's a significant investment. So the buyer, which would be the Indonesian government, would need to make that investment. So whether it's commercial for them or not, it's really up to them. But as we move forward with the project, they will have that option should they desire. But they've had an option to take Natuna gas for two decades and haven't done so. So thinking is they probably won't, but the option's there for them.
You spoke a little bit about the pricing. How will the gas be priced? And does the gas price in Indonesia and Singapore reflect the cost of imported LNG, or will the formula link to the price of Brent oil?
The thing with Singapore is that pipeline gas is really, really important to them. I mean, because what's been happening, the Natuna Sea production's been declining, and it's been declining now for about 4 or 5 years. So what pipeline gas does to countries like Singapore, it gives them security supplies, it gives them a lower carbon footprint, and also pressures up the pipeline. So it's a really important piece of business to Singapore to augment their increasing LNG imports with pipeline gas.
Of course, during the pandemic, we did see prices of $40 or $50 a gigajoule. It was reflecting about $220 a barrel of oil. So that where the sort of link between Brent and LNG completely broke down.
Yeah, correct. I mean, it actually increased almost up to $60 an MMBTU. Because Singapore, 95% of their power actually comes from natural gas. And they're actually building 4 new gas-fired power stations. So they're pretty much committed long-term to gas. And what we do is we give them an option to augment their production with pipeline gas, which, as I said, is pretty important because diversification of supply in these market conditions that are becoming increasingly uncertain, it does give them confidence about having their fuel source.
And the Mako gas, just for clarity, is it's just pure methane. Is there any liquids with it at all? Any condensate?
No, it's pure methane. There's no inerts in it. And it's just basically clean natural gas,
pipeline gas. So look, Mario, once all your sales agreements are in hand and your costs are finalised for the Mako development, does Conrad intend to farm down its holding to fund development? And who are the likely interested parties to come and join you in that project? I know you can't be too specific about it, but are they customers or peers?
Yeah, we have to farm down effectively to fund the project. We've got 76.5% interest in the project, and a sell down to somewhere between 40% to 50% is going to be really, really important. We published some total project costs as part of the capital raising that we did, and that was around 325 $1 million. So that's the sort of the latest numbers, and the final numbers are going to be, you know, between 10% plus or minus from that number. So we hired Jefferies, the big US investment bank, to run a farm down process, and we're getting towards the end of that. And that's one of the news flow events over the course of the few months, coming months, to announce a partner into the project. The types of companies that are looking at it are pretty much your usual offshore operators, offshore oil and gas companies in the Asia Pac region. We're pretty optimistic of getting a deal done, and once again, it's a robust project. So
Murray, just on that robustness, you know, what are the numbers in terms of, I think you said you're going to be targeting 120 million cubic feet a day for 7 years, and then possibly more depending on how the field goes. What sort of EBITDA and cash flow does the project spit out?
Yeah, once again, we haven't published any numbers, so I don't want to be, there's some brokers reports out there. I don't have them in front of me at the moment. There's a couple of brokers, Canaccord, Bells and Wilsons, are the three brokers to follow the company. But it really depends too on what level of farm out we do, whether we drop to 40%, 30%, or 50%. So numbers are not into the payback on the project itself is probably only a couple of years. So it's a the internal rates of return that was in the prospectus were close to 50%. But I think, you know, now with the higher costs, those numbers are a little bit lower than that.
Yeah. So with a market cap of about 120 million currently, you got it all to play for there. Now, just finally, the expected news flow. You did say, you know, you're in deep discussions with a farm down. Is there anything else that we can look forward to over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, basically the farm down process is really important, because that's then the catalyst to signing what's going to be the gas sales agreement, which will be a binding gas sales agreement between ourselves and Sembcorp. So they are the two big news flow events, and that obviously leads to sort of the final investment decision. The other thing too is, as you've touched on before, is the Aceh area. I mean, that project has really crept up on us. And as I said, it's got two facets. One is the shallow water area and the deeper water area. So we're in continual discussions with companies looking to come in, potentially coming into the deeper water areas, and continuing to mature that shallow water area. I think probably they're the major news flow events. So we've got farm down financing as well. That's really important. Because with the farm down, we'll obviously have to secure some financing. So farm down financing, gas sales agreement, final investment decision, and then potentially Aceh farm out and a movement to a plan of development from an MOU in the shallow water areas.
Mario, thanks for coming in. It's nice to see Conrad sort of moving ahead finally after those delays, which were caused by some things you couldn't control. So thanks for coming in, Mario, and we'll look forward to seeing how things pan out on those multiple fronts. And once the seismic comes in later this year, it's going to be exciting to see what that shows up in the offshore Aceh areas as well. So we'll look forward to talking to you later in the year.
Great. Thanks very much, Peter. Appreciate it.